thank you for your practice, silence. So tonight I'm going to talk about karma. And so mostly because that's where I'm at in the series of talks I've been doing, is we started at the beginning of the year with the life of the Buddha and gone through the first noble truth, the second noble truth, the third noble truth, the five spiritual faculties, and now we're getting into the Eightfold Path. So just for some of you who are new or aren't sure, this first noble truth, the Buddha's articulation on the human experience is that the reality, the truth of dukkha or difficulty or dissatisfaction, the basic idea that we can all to some degree probably agree that life has not been totally easy for us all of the time. And this is just true for everybody. That there's always going to be some degree of aggravation or disappointment, not getting what you want, getting what you don't want. Birth, old age, sickness, and death. Life. This is how life is. And then, of course, what causes us to suffer, what causes suffering, is our inability to really accept that or to remember that that's how it is. And we get into craving for things to be other than the way they are. We want things to be different. We want things to be more pleasant, less painful. We want to get our way. We crave all kinds of things. And then the third noble truth is that you actually can be free from that craving. You can be free from what I call the tendencies of anticipation and resistance and reaching for and pushing away, that you don't actually have to do that. And so mindfulness, in many ways in mindfulness, we're actually working with these three things over and over and over again. You're sitting here and something happens, you don't like it, you want it to be different, and you try to fix it and adjust it, and you get strung out on that, and so you just kind of give up, and you release yourself from it, and you feel okay again, and then something else happens. So these things are really things that we can be mindful of, we can be aware of. And so the Eightfold Path, the Buddha's fourth noble truth, is that there's a process, there's a path, there's a cultivation. You could see it as an agricultural kind of thing of planting seeds, taking care of the seeds, watering the seeds, taking care of the dirt, growing fruit, picking fruit, harvesting the fruit. So a lot of the analogy around the Eightfold Path is one of agriculture. So it's one of process. And it's really I don't hear enough of people talk about it. I'm surprised how few books there are about the Eightfold Path, because it's basically what the Buddha's saying. This is how you find happiness in this world, is to follow this path. And in the beginning of the path starts with what's often called right understanding or appropriate understanding. I like to see it more as skillful understanding. I like to see all of these practices and all of these ideas that we hear about and learn about as skills. Everything's a skill that we have the ability to develop. And so this skill of understanding, sometimes you could call it wisdom. I talked about that a few weeks ago. And so one of the first things that we come into contact with when we start to develop understanding about how things are, or what it means to be a human, or how suffering is created, is that we have to acknowledge this teaching on karma. Now, karma is probably, of all the Buddhist ideas, it's probably a word that everybody's probably really familiar with, right? I mean, I remember talking about karma years before I had any idea what the hell it was. It's a word that we kind of throw around. I think in a very basic, everyday level, it just kind of means what comes around goes around, right? Karma. And I think that's fairly accurate. I think that's to some degree what the Buddha's saying, was that whatever comes around goes around. So just maybe some history on the word karma. Karma was, karma in rebirth or karma in reincarnation, these past future life ideas, were very much believed in the time of the Buddha, in ancient India. Karma was kind of, everybody kind of, it would be like the way we would talk about gravity. Like nobody here would argue about gravity, right? We pretty much all agree that gravity exists. We probably all agree, hopefully, that the earth is round. And so it was part of the worldview of that time. People just, there was no really dispute everybody kind of agreed on karma. And so what the Buddha does, what he's famous for doing, is he oftentimes will take an everyday word or an everyday idea and give it a new definition, which is why he was viewed as being such a radical person and such a revolutionary person, because he would take words that people use, like even the word dharma was a kind of an everyday word, and he kind of redefined that word dharma as truth or the way things are. And he talks about karma, the most accurate English translation for the word karma would be action. So karma is all about what you do. And so as much as the Buddha was also a radical psychologist, that actually he would even say and would even acknowledge that thinking is an action. Volitional thinking, which is intentional thinking, choosing to think about something. That there's actually a karmic element to just thinking. Thoughts have karmic consequences. And so what we want to try to do, okay, I wrote this down, is when we look at karma, we want to look at it, how can we look at it kind of as a middle way between determinism and randomness? So, one school religion would say, God's will, or these type of things, that everything is kind of determined, and that's how the universe is, and that's kind of a pretty fixed view, isn't it? Everything is kind of locked and loaded, and things are happen the way that God means them to happen, and there's a whole bunch of religions and ideas around that view. The other view, the other extreme would be that everything is just kind of random and just nothing, there's no meaning in anything and just shit happens and deal with it. It's kind of more of a nihilistic view or a random view. But really what we're trying to do is we're trying to hold this middle view between these two extremes. Because if the whole Buddhist endeavor, the whole practice, is about knowing suffering and knowing the end of it, we have to begin to understand how suffering is created. How do we create suffering for ourselves? And I don't know about you, but it starts right in the mind, doesn't it? Do you create suffering for yourself in your thoughts? I do. So we want to catch it right at the moment of conception. We want to catch this experience. And so, of course, there's a middle way to that, right? Some thoughts you choose to think. You might think about where you're going to go eat after this or what you need to do tomorrow. You choose. It's volitional thinking. You say, I'm going to think about this. Volitional thinking. It's a free will, it's determined, you're kind of choosing to do it. There's an intentional, you're intentionally thinking. And then there's those random thoughts that just kind of poof. You know these thoughts, right? They just come out of nowhere and you're like, why am I thinking about this? I didn't mean for this to come into my mind. So we want to try to look at the middle of this experience. And so I really want to talk about, in the teachings, and of course I want to say this too, Buddhist scholars, Buddhist monks, Buddhist academics, everybody fucking argues about karma. And so there's no, general school on what karma actually is. People have been arguing about it for 2,500 years. I don't want to look at karma from that kind of argumentative view. I kind of like to kind of say this is kind of how it's understood and how it can be helpful. So some degree there's karma, past life, future life, and what you've done in your past life is going to have repercussions in this life, and what you do in this life is going to have repercussions in your next life. Personally, I hold an agnostic view on that theory because I just don't know about that. But some people say the Buddha taught that and you should believe that, and some people say absolutely not. I don't know. I kind of just leave it as an agnostic view. So the way I want to look at karma more would be from this life perspective on karma. Because that's what we can see, that's what we can understand, that's what we can be mindful of, that's what we can do is this life perspective on karma. And so if karma is about action, and karma is about cause and effect, we want to begin to have some framework for how, I would say, how is harm caused? How do we cause ourselves harm on one level, right out of the gate? And so we cause ourselves harm in a lot of ways. So we cause ourselves harm in thinking around the self, right? Just the burden of the self. You know this thing you have called yourself that you have to lug around with you everywhere you go? A lot of harm gets created in just this view of self, in the way we think about the self. And so when we look at, like, karma as cause and effect, I like to look at it more as like receiving and responding. So as I go through my day, as I go through my life, there's a lot of things that come into my experience, right? Conversations with people, the weather, bills come in the mail. I'm kind of receiving a lot of difficulty a lot of the time. And so to some degree, there's a karmic sense of that. It's like, you know, I purchased something and now the bill has come in and I have to pay it. Or there's things that I've done in the past that are going to have a repercussion in the future, so I need to kind of pay attention to these things. So on one end, there's what's coming into our experience, whether it's coming into the mailbox, into an inbox in your email account, or just a thought that's coming into your mind. There's this, what we're receiving. And so what we're being asked to do, which is kind of the bad news of Buddhist practice, is to take full responsibility for all of that. Taking full responsibility for what enters into my experience. And I hear that and I go, whoa, man, that sounds fucked up. What if somebody, what if it's not my fault? What if, you know, we kind of, there's a lot of pushback on this idea, right? But the benefit of this really is taking full responsibility for what comes into my experience. What it does is it puts me in a position where I'm way less likely to play the blame game. Because when I come into contact or I'm receiving incoming experience that I don't like, that's disagreeable, when I'm getting what I don't want and all of that, I'm looking for somebody to blame. Whose fault is this? Who did this to me? Did I do this to me? And so we're always creating this, you know, this idea of self and other and the tendency to blame, to find the scapegoat, which actually causes us a lot of harm a lot of the times. And so as we kind of, how do we receive experience, there's a bit of karma to that. And so to just see, like, even that idea, like, can you take full responsibility for that? And then more importantly is, how do we respond to what comes in? How do we, you know, as Martine Batchelor would say, how do we creatively engage? How do we really respond to what's coming in to our experience, be it a memory or a fear of the future or some conversation with somebody that's not going our way or being blamed for something or being judged or criticized, which we don't like. I don't like that, do you? So I want to push back on these things often, which creates more conflict. So when we respond, when we learn how to respond more skillfully, what we're doing in that moment actually is we're generating karma. And so everything from the view of karma rests on the tip of motivation or the tip of the intention. And so what we reap in the future is the intentional action that we produce in any given moment. So if I'm throwing anger at the present moment experience, what's going to happen is as time goes on, as the timeline goes on, I'm more likely to receive that anger again down the road. So it's like whatever you throw out there, you're going to get it back. Now, we don't know when, we don't know how. The Buddha also said trying to understand karma will make you go crazy, so try not to do it. Which makes me not want to talk about it, you know. But we want to just kind of acknowledge that, you know, so the unwholesome karma that we generate is always rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion. So whatever we're throwing out, whether we're throwing it at ourselves or we're throwing it out, there's going to be, we're kind of agriculture again, we're planting seeds in that moment. We're planting these seeds. What seeds are you planting in this moment? You know, are you pushing away? Are you resisting? Is there a degree of hatred or aversion or judgment? Are you planting that seed? What seeds are you cultivating in any given moment? Because those seeds that you plant now are going to bear fruit somewhere down the line. And so this puts us in a, I find that this puts me in a kind of a unique place when I think about karma, because what it's doing is it's asking us again to take complete and full responsibility for what we do and what we think and what we say and how we act. And also on a universal level, one of the things about karma in the Buddhist cosmology is that karma basically says nobody gets away with anything. Sometimes, you know, we have people in our lives, you know, people, right, they're always doing shitty stuff and nothing bad ever happens to them. And we kind of get, like, jammed up about that. But in the view of karma, everybody's going to get theirs. You know, that everything in the view of karma is nobody gets away with anything. Well, that helps me sometimes when I try to, like, think about why things happen the way they happen, which is a dangerous thing to do. But it's really one of the things that the Buddha says, the only things that we own, the only things that you can own are your actions. And so you own your actions. And if you think about things like guilt or shame or regret, think about some of the things that you've done to yourself or to other people, whether it was even yesterday, 5 or 10 years ago, that you still kind of don't feel so good about. And you say, what would it have been like if you had not done that? You know? So we think about these things, it's like when I look back over my life and my experience, there are certain things I've maybe done or certain things I've maybe said that when I remember, I'm like, ooh, I wish I hadn't have done that. So we kind of have to take some responsibility for that. So ultimately this view on karma is all about not causing harm to ourselves, to other people. It's really about that, what you could call Buddhist ethics. And so we have to work on this on many, many different levels. And so one of the ways we can create positive karma for ourselves and to try to open this stuff is just like in the view of like meditation practice or daily sitting practice, that even as you maybe come out of your mind down into body breath awareness, as you cultivate awareness in any given moment, you're planting the seed of mindfulness, you're planting the seed of awareness that, who knows, maybe 2 weeks from now you'll be driving down the road in your car and you'll just all of a sudden wake up to something or wake up from something. And so one of the things that I've always said that I like to say is that if you show up for the present moment enough, meaning that if you start to develop a daily practice and you start to really incline the mind towards awareness, if you start to show up for this present time experience enough, it will eventually start showing up for you. And you'll be causing harm in the mind, or you'll be spun out on some detail about your life or your relationship or finances or the worldliness. And all of a sudden, you'll just kind of wake up to that and be like, wow, man, I'm really causing myself some harm right now. I really don't need to be doing this anymore. And so even these seeds of awareness, and so mindfulness from the view of karma, mindfulness in the Buddhist psychology manual of the Abhidharma is considered a beautiful, wholesome mind state. So in a moment of actual mindfulness, no harm is created, no judgment is created. And so that you're basically bringing in these moments of awareness, and they are likely to re-arise again in the future. So, you know, there's what's coming in and then there's what's going out. So even as we generate mindfulness, as we generate even a metta practice, a sense of loving kindness for ourselves, a sense of compassion for ourselves, even in the moment where we might be doing it, but we don't really feel it, you know that, right? You're like, I'm meditating, but I don't feel like I'm meditating. I'm saying these phrases, but I don't feel like I love myself. You're actually generating wholesome karma in that moment. Because what you're doing is you're intentionally saying these phrases, you're intentionally inclining the mind, the intention aggregate, you're doing that. So you're doing that. You're saying, may I be at ease. You're saying, may I care about the suffering in my life, even though I totally fucking don't, in the next moment. And you say it again, and so it's just like, you're kind of popping it out there. And so you're actually generating positive karma in that experience. Now, again, you don't know when that's going to bear fruit, or if it's going to be tomorrow, or next week, or next year. But this, I find, sometimes can be a little bit more helpful or encouraging to make us even want to meditate. It might put us in a position where we might be more interested or more willing to do it because we can see that we're, to some degree, we're improving our stream of consciousness by intentionally bringing the attention into different parts of the experience. And so there's a karmic benefit to that. And so if it starts in the mind, it starts in the thought world. So our thoughts are going to influence our intentions. So if our thoughts are more loving, more forgiving, more generous, more understanding, more based in reality, if our thought world is more in line with that view, our intentions are likely to be more in line with that view. Our words are inclined to be more with that view. Our actions are... So it all starts in the mind, doesn't it? And so anytime we can kind of drop these seeds in, we're improving the whole spectrum of how we live. And then we start to make changes in our intentions. We start to make changes in our actions. We start to just live differently. And then we feel better. And it's like cause and effect, you know. And so sometimes it takes a little while to get what I call a buy-in around it. It's taken me a long time. So I try to remain, to have some degree of a healthy agnosticism around karma. But from the this life view, from the moment-to-moment view, I found that it seems to be pretty true. That kind of whatever I throw out, I kind of get it back. What comes around goes around. What goes up must come down. If I'm throwing out greed, if I'm throwing out hatred, if I'm throwing out judgment, I'm likely to catch it later on down the line. So whatever we put out comes back. I think that's probably the most pragmatic way to look at it. Also, too, sometimes it can be helpful to hold this view because sometimes if we are trying to put it out there, sometimes we like the immediate gratification, don't we? So sometimes you might meditate and get up and go, I didn't get shit out of that. That was a waste of time. I sat there for 20 minutes and my mind wandered the whole time or whatever, whatever, whatever. But again, that's the wrong view. That's actually not what's happening. What's happening in that practice is you are intentionally creating wholesome mind states. You're creating wholesome karma in any moment that you can. So even in one moment equals one seed. One seed might equal one fruit. You just don't get to know at what stage or what time down the line that fruit is going to ripen. That's all I want to say about karma. It is a tricky topic, but I feel responsible to talk about it because it is a big part of the practice and it's definitely a big part of what the Buddha taught And in this book, what the Buddha thought, it's a big part, I believe, of what he thought. But to give you, again, just a framework for it, is it's really about the intentional, what you're putting out intentionally in any given moment experience. And so, to take responsibility for what you're putting out to the world, what you're putting back onto yourself. And to just really see if you can hold as a basic core value this intention that I don't really want to cause harm. I just don't really want to do that. And I think that most of us probably would agree or probably can find that that's a pretty easy idea to get behind, isn't it? Because when do we cause harm? When we're hurting. You know? I know that I mostly cause harm to myself or other people, or I might say something kind of curt or kind of shitty comment, usually when I'm in a bad mood. And so harm is more likely, we're more likely to cause harm if we feel harmed or if we're suffering. And so we want to undo that process, don't we? So I'm going to shut this off.